Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, we friends, we made it through another week. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. And hopefully you've got to experience some good films this week, some new or at least new to you films, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we will get to the grab a pencil portion of the show in a little bit. But first, I want to talk to you about some of the films I got to watch this past week. One of the newer films, well, it's now being available online, and look for your local art houses to carry this. This is from 2018, but a comedy film called The Independents, which is based on the true story of the band The Sweet Remains and their origin story, which I didn't know until the very, very end. The band also provides music of this. One of the band members, Greg Naughton, is the writer and director, as well as one of the actors, obviously, playing himself. Story of a teacher who is trying to balance being a teacher as well as being a working musician. Seems like everybody, especially his mother, wants him to focus on his dissertation and instead wants to get into music. Runs across a guy who almost hits him with a tree branch. This is a guy who's working as a tree cutting company, and finds out that he is not only a musician but also lives next door to the gentleman in question, to the teacher musician, and they bond very quickly, montage style, as well as wound up playing some music together, and it becomes this kind of bromance version of Once. And then a road trip happens very, very quickly for a show, and as an appearance at the Eagle Rock Festival in Ohio. They are currently living in New York. They pick up a hitchhiker along the way who's also a musician. And what I will say this, what I do like about the film is it captures the spirit of musicians bonding and the impact that music can have with other musicians and forming bonding, strong friendships, and obviously in some cases forming bands. And the problem is I would love to have seen a documentary about the Sweet Remains, because the storytelling, it would be one thing if they told us the story, but as far as presenting it to us in a feature film way, feels really forced. Really, really forced. And I hope I'm wrong. Because if you have some very circumstantial, very random events that happen to you like this, I would be impressed. But there's also hard plot lines, like one of the characters saying, "I got an uncle who works for the airlines when it comes to getting a flight at the last minute." It's frustrating because the guys seem pretty like nice guys, and I know the Sweet Remains have a good reputation. There's also some familiar faces in this, like Richard Kind, George Wendt, Kelly O'Hara, and Boyd Gaines. Kind plays a music producer guy, someone in the music business that arranges for this group to come to a showcase performance in Los Angeles that also feels very forced. And what happens when last second choices are made, and there's a climactic moment that it doesn't do well, not really a spoiler, it doesn't do well for the band at the climactic showcase, but they wind up playing together anyway. I would like to have seen just these three guys tell their story, and maybe, I don't know, maybe VH1 Storytellers or Unplugged or something like that. But just as far as the decisions to have, I mean, a single line change a plot or at least wedge into the story to make it work. You know, lines like, I didn't know this place was down here. Once it gets about the work and the musicianship, it's fine. I think how to get there is a bit troublesome. So let's hope there's a concert storytellers documentary about the Sweet Remains, because unfortunately the Independents didn't do it quite for me. I didn't get a chance to talk last week on some of the videos that have been sent, and I'm going to try to catch up on those. All of them, for the most part, pretty good. We have a film from Film Movement, a drama from Israel called God of the Piano, where we have Annette, who is a pianist, but she is still looming in her father's much more successful shadow. And she is pregnant, gives birth to a child, is going to groom the child to become a musician, and the child is born deaf. And what happens when choices are made to please either your father or yourself, and the consequences that come with it. Also from Film Movement, a pretty good documentary called Mayor, about the mayor of Ramallah in the West Bank, and the conflict between what happens when there is civil unrest in your country. Musa Hadid is the Christian mayor on his second term. And it's a city that's in transition. They're actually discussing a Christmas tree lighting in town. And as well as this is around the same time that Trump wanted to move the Israeli embassy to Jerusalem. And the mayor was not aware of this in advance and has a bit of a feeling of isolation. And what happens when the big picture is getting into the way of the smaller details like city branding and the tree lighting? And it strikes a balance, so the mayor doesn't seem – that Musa doesn't seem like a fool. Just trying to do what he can for his constituents every day, meeting volleyball players, court measurements. Prince William even makes a visit. And then what happens when the outside world is – in the case of this, there's some riots that happen in his town and how he handles them. So it strikes a very good balance without feeling like a cringe comedy or any version of The Office when it comes to somebody who's trying to do their job and just not doing it well. We also have a Cuban – Mambo Noir film called Mambo Man. We have JC, who is a farmer, concert promoter, and small-time hustler, having hit with some financial troubles, and an old friend comes out of hiding after several years with a business deal that seems to be too good to be true. I've already mentioned noir, so you know how it's going to end, but the music's good, and pretty good performances across the board. That is from Cornet Home Video, Mambo Man. Also from Cornet, from Italy, is the drama Alone with Her Dreams, the story of young Lucia in the late 1960s, who is sent to live with her stern grandmother while her parents look for work in France. And we see the young girl notices tension between her grandmother and her own and the grandmother's sister, as well as the frisky older cousin with a married man. Lucia gets a friend at school and finds out more about the town and the town's viewpoint of her family as it goes on. And it's nice performances from the leads, from the grandmother and the daughter. And then we get in some pretty dark secrets in the second half and what happens there and what turns out to be a connection between between girl and granddaughter. Grandmother, under pretty bad circumstances, but a connection is finally made. So from Italy, the film Alone with Her Dreams on Cornet Films. And still working on, from Film Movement Classics from 1954. And I want to give kudos to Simon Magender, who has been on the show many times. I had no clue about the series of comedy films from England in this one. This is the first of it, The Bells of St. Trinians, about a school for girls, and they're all feisty and real. They could rumble with Madeline and her crew. But this is based on a series of popular comics in England, and they wound up making several films of the school. This stars Alistair Sim, for many of you, your favorite Ebenezer Scrooge, who has a dual role as the school headmistress and as her twin brother. And there's a lot of story going on here. A sultan from Arabia brings his princess daughter to attend this school, which seems to be the worst school ever. The town even cowers in fear when the schoolgirls come into town. The school is in financial trouble. Her brother wants to follow the princess because of the sultan's horses, who just so happen to also live in the same county. The horses, not the sultan. And there's students that also create their own distillery. They have somebody that places horse bets for them. There's a field hockey match. There's a stolen racehorse. There's a lot of frantic energy to this that I actually wound up liking more than I thought I would. And Alistair Sim has a nice dual role, as I said. And there's a police officer constable who has his one of his female police officers and also his girlfriend go undercover as a teacher. And there's a lot going on, but the kind of manic energy makes it enjoyable. So from Film Movement Classics from 1954, The Bells of St. Trinians. And finally, going into, I have two more titles, sorry. Working on the Fellini box set. For the first time in a long, long time, I got to revisit 1966's Juliet of the Spirits, which was Fellini's first color film, and about a housewife who uses the supernatural, spirits, and other aspects to find out if her cheating husband is actually cheating on her. Isn't that a twist? The film got two Academy Award nominations for art direction, set direction, as well as costume design. And this is back when they had color and black and white categories for both of those. But on top of this, you get a rooted performance from Giulietta Messina, of course, Fellini's wife, playing the housewife, trying to figure out what method to find out if her husband is being faithful to her or not. And it's a change. Fellini was already making the change with 8½ and La Dolce Vita as far as getting out of neorealism and getting into a bigger, more expensive spectacle that we're going to wind up seeing even more so in his future films in the 1970s. One crew member described the film as a carnival, and that's pretty much what we're going to get from Fellini from here on out. But it's an interesting transitional film, not to the same degree as La Dolce Vita and 8½, but I guess when it comes to telling that story, a stepping stone film. But you do get a nice rooted performance from Giulietta Messina, who I was used to seeing in little larger characters in the other films. Also on the Juliet of the Spirits Blu-ray is the short film from Fellini called Toby Dammit, which was part of a 1968 anthology film called Spirits of the Dead. Three short stories based on stories by Edgar Allan Poe, directed by Roger Vadim, Louis Malle, and Fellini. And Toby Dammit stars Terrence Stamp in a pretty over-the-top performance as the character in question, a self-destructive English actor who is doing a film in Rome and having to attend an award show and wind up going on to going around in his Ferrari that the studio gave him and seeing a young girl in a white dress that may or may not be the devil. But the Stamp character, Toby Dammit's not in a good place, drinking too much. Bristly to work with, especially if you're interviewing him for television or having him perform at an award show. I hadn't seen Stamp go this far over the top before, and it's interesting. It's not bad. It's horror is not Fellini's biggest strength, I guess. And I've not seen Spirits of the Dead, so I'd be intrigued to see how these mesh with the films of Roger Vadim and Louis Malle. So anyway, that was a bonus with Juliet of the Spirits. Now finally, the 1971 rock and roll western Zachariah. I got this on DVD finally. I bought it on cassette many years ago. But man, it's not nearly as bonkers as I remember it the first time, but I bet when this came out in 1971, it had high bonker status. It's about two cowboys played by a young Joe Rubinstein and a young Don Johnson. Joe wants to be a gunfighter. He's Zachariah, along with his friend Matthew, who was a blacksmith and turns out to be quite a gunfighter himself. Guess what? Matthew wears black. Eventually, Zachariah wears white. And these guys want to be young and free and be outlaws. And there are gangs in this film, including Country Joe and the Fish. I'm not making this up. And the James Gang. And they wind up joining an older gang leader played by, not kidding, jazz drummer Elvin Jones. And the soundtrack of this film includes a drum solo from Elvin Jones. So, yeah, Dick Van Patten's also in this. There's moments with an actress playing Belle Starr, and I think people will like it because it's this silly, and some people will hate it because it's this silly. But there hadn't been a rock and roll western until 1971, and I don't think there's been one since. One would say Lust in the Dust or maybe Straight to Hell, but. Good performances from Johnson and Rubinstein, and the ending is not quite what you expect in a Western, but you're not supposed to when you have rock bands. And there's just a fun moment right away where Zachariah is riding by himself with a horse out in the plains, and then they cut to another section of the Southwest and a rock band just playing out of nowhere. So it's a fun 90-minute romp if you have some cocktails and some fried food with you. So yeah, I got to watch Zachariah from 1971. Why not? You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Okay, friends, grab a pencil. Let's get to the films that you have watched over the last week. We start on Twitter with Jay Reed saying, just finished Lady Sings the Blues. Meg writes, Nomadland, really good flick. Chris Lloyd, our very own Chris Lloyd, writes, Crisis, My Zoe, and Some Kind of Wonderful. Noah writes, Space Sweepers, a great foreign language sci-fi flick. That's the channel, not the genre, although I'm sure that is there too. Heather writes, just saw Nomadland. Francis is marvelous as usual. Sarah writes, Portrait of a Lady on Fire. David writes, Nomadland. This week was also the anniversary of the release of the film Slapshot. And never forget, Dave's a killer, Dave's a mess. Mike writes, I saw Nomadland, my first theater experience in nearly a year. I loved it. Congratulations, Mike. I'm still not ready, but I hope you were safe, and I hope everything was going okay at the screening. He says, I might go see it again. I also watched 2001 A Space Odyssey in the basement last night. I didn't get it when I first saw it, but I do now. One of my all-time favorites. That's very cool, Mike. Yeah, the film doesn't change. We do. So I'm glad you got to revisit 2001. And yes, and Nomadland in the theater. I wish I could do that. I got to give a shout out to my buddy KJ. She's got a really cool podcast called KindaNerdyGirls.com. And we had a moment of secondhand geekdom. And what happened was she had put out a notice that she was going to be interviewing a couple people involved with a new thriller that is out there, one of which is Judd Nelson. And she put out on social media, what questions should I ask? And, of course, I immediately chimed in that you have to ask him about, for me, one of the most underrated films of the 1980s, Kevin Reynolds' Fandango. I have talked about this film before on the show. A then unknown Kevin Costner. This was the, as I find out in the interview, Nelson's first film, even though it was released after his second film, which was Making the Grade. So Nelson was kind of the name actor in this one. But it's set in Austin, Texas, 1971, graduation weekend in college, and four friends are going to be going away and reporting for the draft. One of which doesn't want to do it. That's the head of the Groovers group, played by Kevin Costner. This is also after Costner had been famously edited out of The Big Chill. And then they wind up taking a road trip to Mexico. One Last Fandango, A Spanish Dance, and A Foolish Act. And it's one of my favorite road trip films. For road trip films, it's Thelma and Louise, Sideways, and Fandango. So, and directed by Kevin Reynolds, who would later give us Waterworld, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, 187, and many, many others. So anyway, thanks, KJ, for asking Judd about Fandango. I know he gets asked a lot about the, you know, St. Elmo's Fire and the Breakfast Club and all that. So I hope more people look for Fandango. I would love Criterion to give Fandango the Criterion treatment. So anyway, thanks, KJ. I appreciate it. But yeah, go to kindanerdygirls.com to listen to the interview. It was very cool. And I believe that is it on Twitter. All right, going to Facebook, we start with Jared, who writes, just finished Little Big Man and currently watching the Lady from Shanghai. Kathleen writes, Denial, Little Women, and Coriolanus. Lila writes, I Care a Lot was fun. I loved her modern Nurse Ratched look at the end. Hunt for the Wilder People was meh, but the kids in the movie were great. And for some reason, I'd been thinking of the film version of The Road to Wellville and watched it. It didn't disappoint. Still funny. I'd forgotten Anthony Hopkins plays Crackpot Kellogg. Yeah, and it's between the glasses and the buck teeth and the manic energy, that's a unique Anthony Hopkins performance in The Road to Wellville. Thank you, Lila. Andrew writes, That Thing You Do, The Spell, and Nomadland. John writes, Eat, Drink, Man, Woman. Amanda writes, I will try and mention it again in this week's post, but in case I don't see it, Let Him Go is fantastic. Wow. Liz writes, Nomadland. Brilliant. Matthew writes, Shutter Island. Darren writes, Venom. David writes, All I Can Say is the documentary on Blind Melon frontman Shannon Hoon. I would like to check that out. Most of the footage was him filming stuff he was doing from 1990 to 1995. Very interesting. Thank you, David. Nancy writes, Nomadland. John writes, Soul. Ross writes, Helvetica and Blood Simple. Melissa writes, We finally completed the Harry Potter series with the kiddos. Did they enjoy two films in one book? Just asking. Ariana writes, Funny Boy and the Peanut Butter Falcon. Taylor writes, Moulin Rouge, the one with Jose Ferrer. The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. The Old Guard, The Wet Parade, The Fortune Cookie, and Jupiter Ascending. Christian writes, Taxi Driver. And then adds, I had seen it once before when I was about 18. Great movie, but quite disturbing, but still great. And Jodie Foster's work is amazing. I agree with you on that, Christian. Britt writes, Gladiator, A Bug's Life, I Care a Lot, Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man, wow, more Don Johnson, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Ocean's 8, A Little Chaos, Cool Hand Luke, and Ocean's 11, the Steven Soderbergh version. Nikki writes, Gemini Man, and simply responds with, meh. Kathy writes, Nomadland. Tony writes, The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner. I don't know how to pronounce that. Iphigenia and The Shawshank Redemption. Mary writes the 1970 original The Out of Towners. Amanda writes Nomadland, I Care a Lot, and Let Him Go. Those are the best ones of the week. Judy writes Downhill Racer. It's been a long time since I've seen that, and I know it's on Criterion, even though I didn't order it during their flash sale. And Judy also watched Iron Man 2. Joe writes The White Princess, The White Queen, Carl Sandburg's Lincoln with Hal Holbrook, Gore Vidal's Lincoln with Sam Waterston. I guess I am stuck in the Civil War era. Michael writes Judas and the Black Messiah and Nomadland, two great movies. Jose writes The Porter and Untold Story of Everest. Joe Sheridan's great. He types, totally missed you last week. I saw I Care a Lot and Cherry. Well, that's all right, Joe. Thank you. And, of course, you can go to the Film Yap and check out the reviews over there. A nice note from Joshua. He writes, my favorite part of the week. You work with Robert Irvine. That's your favorite part of the week. No. I started keeping a list so I could remember specifically for this. Well, thank you, Joshua. Here's Joshua's titles. Nomadland, I Care a Lot, The Next 3 Days, Ford versus Ferrari, Sonic the Hedgehog, Idiocracy, The Book of Eli, Salt, Eagle Eye, Chinatown, and Ava. Thank you, Josh. Randy writes, Fantastic Planet. That was one of the first, not adult, but grown-up animated films I watched as a kid on our old Channel 100 up in Michigan. So I know I've talked before about the odd 70s animated films that were geared toward grown-ups, but I wound up seeing them anyway. Anyway, thank you, Randy. Kara writes, The Cat from Outer Space, Black Panther, and The Fifth Element. Jared informs me, dang me, I wrote them down this week and have lost my list. Well, Jared, if you find it, add it on to next week. It's okay. Frank writes, not a film, but the Fran Lebowitz series, Pretend It's a City, is really good. I had to get past the first 10 minutes, and I was able to ease into it a little more, and I love the postcard of New York then and now with that series. Amanda writes, The Secret. Megan writes, Nomadland. Susan writes, Green Card, Demolition Man, Marty with Ernest Borgnine. I love Marty. I'm too old to play Marty now, and that really bums me out. I love, love Marty. Michael writes, 16 Candles. Ray writes, Hitsville, The Making of Motown. I need to get on that one as well, Ray. Thank you. Don writes, Little Fish, Woman Walks Ahead, and Free State of Jones. Rachel writes, Tin Star. Lisa writes, Love and Monsters was surprisingly good. Dustin writes, Midnight Cowboy, Love Story, Sounder, Murder on the Orient Express, The Muppet Movie, Diner, A Soldier's Story, A Fish Called Wanda, High Fidelity, Bridesmaids, Rock of Ages, Fruitvale Station, Robin Williams, Come Inside My Mind, and Dark Phoenix. David Lindquist. Hey, David. Judas and the Black Messiah. David's got a thing on another radio station. You should go listen to it. It's on WTTS. Look up Dave Lindquist. It's good. Hey, Dave. Michelle writes, In and of Itself and Cinderella. Thomas writes, Endless Love, Bad Influence, and Bullet. Roxana writes, I watched The Descendants again. I need to revisit that, Rox. Thank you. Evan Dossey says he watched Batman versus Superman, the 3.5-hour cut. Okay. Whoo. All right. Austin Glidden writes, Land, Judas and the Black Messiah, Willy's Wonderland, Minari, The Maltese Falcon, The Courier, This Gun for Hire, The Seventh Victim, The Glass Key, Double Indemnity, Ministry of Fear, The Woman in the Window, Laura, Murder, My Sweet, Detour, Mildred Pierce, The Lost Weekend, Scarlet Street, and Gilda. Nice list there, Austin. Julia writes, Thunderball, Goldfinger, The Swarm, and Gun Crazy. David writes, Nomadland. Scott writes, Nomadland. Really good. Just a lovely film, he says. Megan writes, Revisited Lars and the Real Girl. It's so touching. It is, Megan, and it's on paper sounds like a film version of a Saturday Night Live sketch, but really nice performances, especially Ryan Gosling. It's also a favorite of my daughters, Ryan and Lars and the Real Girl. George writes, Space Sweepers. What a cool and different movie. Steven writes, Watched all 5 episodes of It's a Sin. Craig writes, What Happened, Miss Simone? Jeff writes, News of the World, Pieces of a Woman, and Hillbilly Elegy. Amber writes, Multiplicity. Helen writes, Judas and the Black Messiah. We loved it. Michael writes, State Fair, Dark Waters, Nomadland, One Night in Miami, and Westworld. Michelle writes, Burnt. Fell asleep watching Big Night. I'll try again tonight. Yes, Michelle, you cannot fall asleep to Big Night. And also, Criterion, please do a treatment of Big Night. She continues, tried Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. I guess I'm not that little girl anymore. Not my thing. It happens, Michelle. I remember when my Emma stopped being a princess. It's okay. Jonathan writes The Long Goodbye. Rick writes Hugo, which is also my daughter's first Scorsese film. Howell writes, Lone Star, a documentary on the life and career of Stevie Ray Vaughan. I will have to look for that, Howell. Thank you. Kathy writes, The Contender, that last scene made me tear up. I understand. Robert writes, Robert Muggy, Woody Allen, a documentary, Night of the Hunter, The Original Lady Killers, Awara, A Life of Her Own, which he says, George Cukor, who I met while in grad school and who directed much greater films than this one. Thank you, Robert. Still continuing. Nomadland and Judas and the Black Messiah. Adding, by the way, Matthew, last week I wrote Shall We Dance by George Stevens when I meant Swing Time by George Stevens. Sorry, that's what I get for trying to type my list while on the elliptical and watching television. No worries, Robert. I appreciate it. Maybe somebody will watch both of them now. I don't know. Elaine writes Inception and Shutter Island. Martin writes I Care a Lot, Nomadland, Repo Man, and Open Range. Doug writes Joy of Living, Godspell, Tommy, Nomadland, and Palm Springs. Doug, did you watch Godspell and Tommy together? I don't quite recommend that, even though it's a bizarre religious Broadway musical double feature. And my daughter has been learning a certain song from Godspell. It's been fun to hear around the house. Kirk writes The Statement, Marauders, and The Assignment. Anthony writes, Wish You Well, 2013 with Ellen Burstyn. Good story, some tropes, fine acting, good cinematography. Not many scenes filmed in the dark. You should know I don't fire warning shots. Thank you, Anthony. James writes, Willy's Wonderland. Dave writes, Goodfellas, The Help, Malcolm X, and Julie and Julia. Stephanie writes, Nomadland. Daniel writes, oh, wow, Charlie Chan and the Scarlet Clue, Dial M for Murder, the 1981 TV movie version with Angie Dickinson and Christopher Plummer. Under Capricorn, a Woman Under the Influence, Bombshell, Captain Blood, The Love She Sought, Welcome to Chechnya, I Care a Lot, and The Return of the Pink Panther. Robin writes, I Care a Lot. Kelsey writes, Mookie and I just watched Before I Wake on Netflix. It's a real good spooky movie with a few jump scares if you like that sort of thing. Thank you, Kelsey. Carrie writes, The Book of Eli and 12 Monkeys. Brian writes, Excalibur and They Call Me Trinity. Brian, I know you. That might be a double feature for you. Glenn writes, Nomadland. Linda writes, Pick of the Litter and Let Him Go. So inexorably depressing and everyone is overacting. Marshall Terrell, who's been on this show, writes the Woody Allen documentary on HBO. Does that count? And adds compelling TV. Jeff writes Crazy Rich Asians, the animated Aladdin, Athena, Party Monster, Glory Days, Freaky, Kay Ballard, The Show Goes On, and the pilot for The Streets of San Francisco. Wow. Terry writes A Married Couple. Suzanne's Career, Nadja in Paris, and My Night at Maud's. Olivia writes, Dunkirk and Bikram documentary on Netflix. Missy writes, Working on Borderland, Ozark, finished Castle Rock, and Counting, and continuing Mrs. Brown's Boys. Melody writes, Hillbilly Elegy on Netflix. Simone writes, Monster Hunter, Willy's Wonderland, and WandaVision. Gretchen writes, taking turns going through Gilmore Girls, Outlander, and The Stranger. Also started Call the Midwife. Yes, I'm watching a lot of TV, something I never used to do. RJ writes, Nomadland and the Etruscan Smile. Hope I'm saying that right. Joe writes, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Not the first time watching, but probably the first time paying attention. Joe, that happens. That's all right. Movine writes, Documentary Week, Desert One, about the failed rescue attempt of the Americans from Iran during the Carter administration, riveting, and PBS Vaccines, calling the shots. Very interesting history up to the present-day vaccine debate, plus PBS The Pension Gamble, and finally, PBS Mysteries of Sleep. Tom writes, The Map of Tiny Perfect Things. Eric writes, We're the Millers. Nick writes, watched two short films this week, Rupture and Happy Anniversary, both directed by Pierre Ité and Jean-Claude Carrière. Steven writes, also watched a colorized version of 20 Million Miles to Earth. Valerie writes Secondhand Lions. Mario writes Psycho and Tempopo. James writes Beetlejuice. Andrew writes The Blood of Heroes. And finally, John writes an old favorite, South Pacific, which has not worn well. John, that's going to happen. I appreciate you being up front on that. And there you go, friends. That's what you've been watching this week. Going over to IU Cinema, still available through March 3rd, is the 1926 silent movie comedy from Buster Keaton, The General. That's through tonight, Tunnel. Through March 3rd, Gene Dielman, 23. It's the special free virtual cinema event. Tuesday, March 2nd at 7 p.m. is the documentary Woman House. Wednesday, March 3rd through Wednesday, March 17th, Ganja and Hess. I got to get that. Tuesday, March 9th, Invisible Adversaries at 7 p.m. Wednesday, March 10th through Wednesday, March 24th, Multiple Maniacs. And then Thursday, March 11th, a special virtual event at 7 p.m., Queen of Hearts, Audrey Flack, which I reviewed on the show a few weeks back. Let's see. It says Audrey Flack and Director Deborah Schaefer are scheduled to be present for a virtual conversation and interactive Q&A introduced by Nam Brewer, the Eskenazi Museum of Art's Lucianne M. Gullbringer, curator of works on paper, and moderated by Sarah Edmonds-Martin, Assistant Professor of Graphic Design in the Eskenazi School of Art, Architecture, and Design. Thursday, March 11th at 7 o'clock, Queen of Hearts, Audrey Flack. And then Wednesday, March 17th through Wednesday, March 31st, Daughters of the Dust from 1991. And then a special virtual event, Tuesday, March 23rd at 7 p.m., 1959's Room at the Top. All of that is happening there. All right, it's time to raise a glass for dead people we like, because we never have time for dead people we don't like. Want to raise a glass to two-time Academy Award-winning sound editor Alan Robert Murray, who passed away yesterday, I believe, at the age of 66. Won two Academy Awards for his sound editing of Clint Eastwood's American Sniper and Letters from Iwo Jima. Also received nominations for Joker, Sully, Sicario, Flags of Our Fathers, Space Cowboys, Eraser, Lethal Weapon 2, and Lady Hawk. And I believe was basically Clint Eastwood's sound editor from 1979's Escape from Alcatraz to the present time. Non-Clint titles include American Hot Wax, The Warriors, North Dallas 40, the first Star Trek motion picture, the remake of The Postman Always Rings Twice, The Challenge, which is on my pile, National Lampoon's Vacation, the first Lethal Weapon, Scrooged, Hard to Kill, Die Hard 2, featuring yours truly, New Jack City, Frankie and Johnny, and the Bradley Cooper A Star is Born. So salute to you, Alan Robert Murray. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. And hopefully you're finding some good films to watch at home, or if you're braving it out to the multiplexes, just be safe out there. And find some films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Should have a very special guest on next week's show. It's going to be, hopefully, a mixture of film sociology and the Blues House Party. You'll just have to tune in next week to find out. Fingers crossed. So until then, thank you for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan. I do want to end this week's show with a little cinematic poetry tribute from Lawrence Ferlinghetti Getty from The Last Waltz. Take care, everybody.
Let us pray. Our Father, whose art's in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Unless things change, thy wisdom come and gone, thy will be undone on earth as it isn't heaven. Give us this day our daily bread at least three times a day, and forgive us our trespasses on love's territory, for thine is the wisdom and power and glory. Oh, man!
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!